Right. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106. Those y'all new to town, 251-343-0106 is Mobile Mornings, hour number three. Turning up your voice, love to hear from you. Lots to talk about this hour. I do want to add this to the rundown for today. Now, this is a couple things. First of all, it's the start of it is a town hall meeting in Grand Bay. Okay, that is going on with Congressman Bradley Byrne. Then after that after the town hall meeting, there's going to be a presser, a news conference going on at 11 o'clock at the Lighthouse Restaurant in Bala Battery with State Auditor Jim Ziegler, head of the Block the Mobile Bayway Toll Facebook page. He's going to be there, and we're talking about what he said in the email this morning. But at that point, they're going to talk about a meeting coming up on Thursday that's going to go on at the Five Rivers Center. All right. Also got a note here from Cher. She said if you're looking for those stickers, those Block the Toll bumper stickers, they're going to be available at the event today at the Lighthouse Restaurant.
Oh, good. So those are popular right now.
Very much so. And like I said, we have some here at the station. What I can't do is sell them onesie twosies. I think they're $1.25 each because we're not we've done stuff like this in the past. We're kind of all having to do the radio stuff. Now, if you want to come by like 50 or 100 at a time, that's cool. If you hand them out or sell them, whatever, we could do it like that. Like, I guess we'll be a wholesaler, not a retailer.
Right.
So we do have the stickers. I can't get into the, maybe we put an honor box out front of the station and put a stack of them, something like that. Maybe that'll work. All right. So the note here. From State Auditor Jim Ziegler says, when Congressman Bradley Byrne holds his town hall in Grand Bay today, he will be met by opponents of a toll bridge over Mobile Bay. Byrne will hear from the voters at 9 a.m. today at the Grand Bay Community Center. Members of the Facebook Block the Mobile Bayway Toll say they will be there and present Byrne with a specific request. Here is the wording of their request. Congressman Byrne, please send a letter and make a call to both Governor Ivey and Toll Authority member Joe Bonner. Ask them to halt the LDOT toll plan for Mobile Bay and seek to fund the project by either, number one, the $287 billion federal infrastructure bill that passed the Senate Committee 21-0 on July 30th and has bipartisan support, or existing state funds identified by Senate Finance General Fund Chair Greg Allbritton. Will you do this, Congressman Byrne? Okay, so I would say that Congressman Byrne was just on here Friday on the show opposing the toll. He has said in the past that it's kind of out of his hands at a federal level. Interesting, when we got in a discussion, and you can go back and check the podcast out from the first hour of Midday Mobile on Friday, but we talked about so federal money comes to the state. Okay, in this case, we'll talk about that infra grant money, $125 million. He said, once federal highway funds come to a state, the hands are off for the federal legislator that did it. It is now in the hands of the state to apply it. Now, I know in the past, when we had earmarking, you could earmark money to go specifically from the federal government to the state, but then to a specific project. That has ended. And so the congressman says, the feds can get money to the state, but the decision of how to apply that money is in the hands of LDOT.
So Congressman Byrne, who, he's been pretty straightforward that he's against the tolls.
Right.
As far as people that have entered the Senate race for 2020, I think that he was the first to come out as anti-toll. So when the Common Sense campaign and Jim Ziegler and all the anti-toll protesters are out there, it's not quite the same as going to an event with Kay Ivey there or something like that.
Right, if people didn't read Kay Ivey's op-ed that was published in Yellowhammer, Thursday or Friday?
Friday.
End of the week. I mean, here's a quote from that. It's like a 1,000-word op-ed that was published there. Kay Ivey writes, in recent weeks, some in the no toll or no bridge camp have suggested we ought to just slow this down and wait till after the next presidential election. Okay, I count myself in that camp, Governor Ivey. Slowing down a project that is almost a quarter century old seems unwise. The cost of doing nothing is too high, and no one is suggesting it will get any cheaper if we just wait. Well, yeah, it might if there's more federal money, Governor.
That's exactly the point, right?
She goes on to say, like others, I am sensitive to those legitimate concerns of what a toll would do to working families, lower and middle class citizens, small businesses, students, and the elderly. That's all of us. However, there are also countless individuals who would like the option of choosing a safer, less congested route along the Mobile River and Bay, even if it means that route will come with a toll. Countless individuals, okay? Keep in mind there will be always be toll-free options for anyone who needs to cross Mobile Bay for free. To those who say the bridge can be built without a toll, I simply ask you to show us how. To that end, I'm inviting all who have different suggestions to build the bridge to a meeting that will be held October 7th in Montgomery. Elected leaders from local, state, and federal office will be given opportunity to show us their plan, and the meeting will be open to the public. This project's too important for us to be paralyzed by misinformation and inaction. I hope we can prove that when we work together, there's no limit to what we can accomplish.
Okay. Very interesting. So, governor is still kind of
She's pro toll.
Yeah, she's pro toll
in a way. But I mean, I guess she can say she's half to toll, not a pro toll, but we can't do this without the toll, and we have to do the project.
And she's still trying to play both sides of the field here. She's making it sound like she doesn't want a toll, but that's the only way that it's going to happen. The line that I don't get is saying the cost of doing nothing is too high because we've waited a quarter century.
To me, that's a better argument to wait.
Yeah, exactly. We've already waited a quarter century. We're doing okay right now. We hate that we have to wait in traffic the way that it is. And yeah, a bridge would be great, but we've already waited 25 years. Because this toll is so high, what's another 2-3 years?
Well, I'm not even looking at that. I'm looking at 2020. Mm-hmm. If President Trump wins re-election, and he has said so many times how much he wants to do on infrastructure, maybe that changes the case. And maybe at that point, because I wouldn't imagine, if I'm a Democrat just playing the game, I'm not going to give the president a victory on infrastructure leading into that's something that it motivates independent and, you know, swing voters. I wouldn't let him have a win on that in election year. So you have to wait till post 2020 to see what could be done there. So that's part of it. We'll talk about this hour, and also this Epstein story. When I heard this drop, I said, holy cow. I said, this is everything. I mean, first of all, people had predicted this. Mm-hmm. He had attempted suicide
two weeks ago. It was right there towards the end of July. And I think most people assumed, and you know what happens when you assume.
Yes. But,
and I was one of those that assumed that if you attempt suicide, especially in a federal penitentiary, that you would be put on suicide watch for a while.
Yeah.
And by a while, I would think at least 2-3 weeks that they would be looking closely at what's going on. But now there's information coming out, and the Associated Press talked with a source from within that Metropolitan Correctional Center where Epstein killed himself. And they're saying that he was taken off of suicide watch at the end of July, meaning he was only on suicide watch for 2 to 4 days after he attempted suicide the first time. We've also seen stories that his cellmate was removed from the cell hours prior to this happening. We don't know if that was planned a long time in advance.
But they haven't told us. So it seems at this point, with not having the fact there, you can fill in the blanks. It seems pretty sketchy.
Yeah, and for those of you that haven't really followed this story closely and you're wondering, you know, why are there so many conspiracy theories out there already surrounding Epstein's death? And that's just because of the names that have been mentioned alongside Epstein's name in this. You know, he's was a multimillionaire, very well connected in all parts of the upper echelon of society. We saw his name right there next to Bill Clinton's. I guess they spent some time together, but also, you know, world famous scientists were linked with Epstein, and all kinds of very famous people, and a lot of people could have potentially gone down with Epstein had this gone to trial, and if a lot of information had come out. There are prosecutors who say they're still going to look closely into everything that's happened, even with Epstein being dead, but conspiracy theories abound, and it was pretty much immediately after his death was announced on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of names here. I mean, you go down the list on both sides of the aisle, and people that are just, you know, famous for being famous, but also Acosta most recently, right? Losing the nomination for the president because he had worked on that case that gave Epstein a shorter sentence there in state, you know, when they prosecuted in Florida.
Yeah, remember when Epstein was arrested there at the beginning of July last month, that's when the news came back about his initial plea deal back in, I think, the 90s is when he had a plea deal. Right. It might have been the early 2000s. And Acosta, yeah, he was removed from his post because that was such a big deal, and so many people were going after Acosta for being in charge of letting Epstein sign that plea deal. And Epstein's lawyers were saying that, you know, he can't be charged with any of these new charges because those were covered in that initial plea mm-hmm. deal. Well, you had a document dump late last week that revealed a lot of things from that initial trial. And a lot of people saying, you know, that came out last week. Not surprising that he killed himself on Saturday with all that new information out there. But again, most normal citizens say, if you had this high profile of an inmate and he's already attempted suicide
right,
once.
Right. Why is he left unsupervised?
And you want to get this information out to know whether this is an even bigger deal than it already appears, with all the names that have been connected to Epstein, for him to be allowed to be by himself and to do that, pretty alarming.
And then the method, we got to find out the method, you know, how he hung himself. People are going to say the sheets, right? You read something, somebody who had been in there already theorizing that the level of the sheets, what would they say, is paper thin or something?
Yeah, now the New York Post have a former inmate who spent time there at that corrections facility, and he actually wrote an op-ed in the New York Post over the weekend, and his lead sentence is, "There's no way that man could have killed himself." And he goes on to say, in these cells you have sheets, but they're paper level, not strong enough. He was 200 pounds. It would never happen. Count him in line with so many people who believe that Epstein either didn't kill himself or was allowed to do this on the government's watch. And, you know, we saw hashtag Clinton body count trend pretty quickly mm-hmm. on Twitter on Saturday. And then that was surprisingly replaced by hashtag Trump body count.
Of course it will
the
be.
Same day. People blaming people on other sides of the aisle, but everyone has a conspiracy theory surrounding this story.
Well, yes, you know, so I've watched conspiracy theories over the years. Watch for that sheet thing to be the new steel beam and jet fuel.
Hmm.
You know, that'll be like the 9/11 truthers out there. They're always talking about what melts steel beams, what doesn't. Watch them obsess on, you know, how much weight these bed sheets can handle. That'll be a whole nother run of this. Hey, we'll talk about it with you when we get back. 343-0106. At 823 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Turning up your voice, 343-0106, 343-0106. I'd like to hear from you, Sean, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kelly, Kane. We're waiting for you. On the text line, a couple things up here. Other than thank you, Bo. Bo sent a diagram here of a weapon mm-hmm. to the station. You saw that? Did you see that diagram?
I'm looking right now. Okay, yeah, I see the diagram.
And this is the stuff your kids can find online.
Yeah, is that
to build a weapon?
Potato gun?
It is potato gun.
Awesome. Yeah.
I may or may not have toyed with the potato guns and maximizing distance of potato guns as a young man.
I knew a guy and I
early 20s, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I shot a potato gun once or twice in my lifetime.
Gun.
And I had this, I guess you could call him an acquaintance, not really a close friend, but saw him at a neighborhood birthday party. And he also shot out the potato gun, but somehow he singed the eyebrows off of his face while creating his own potato gun. So that was always a funny one around town.
How much of this can I say before I get in trouble? The best propellant?
Mm-hmm.
Aquanet?
Aquanet. Oh, yeah.
Aquanet was the okay.
Very flammable.
I think I'm not supposed to say anything about that. Okay. Also, a lot of texts come in here. Will, I thought the same thing. Will said, I like how the meeting is in Montgomery. Mobile and Baldwin counties are going to have to carpool up to that meeting mm-hmm. coming up on the 7th. You know, the governor will argue probably that, that's a seat of government for the state and the state's, making the decision. But, Will, I do wonder why they wouldn't have it maybe bring those people down here. But I'm sure the quick argument will be, well, Montgomery is the seat of state government. That's where we're going to have this.
Yeah, that's the built-in reason. But, you know, it's a lot harder for opponents to travel to Montgomery than right here in Baldwin County. And I'm sure they don't mind that they won't have as many Baldwin County and Mobile County people there to be anti-toll.
Yeah, well, it's going to be – well, they may be surprised, though, the number of people that show up. Also from the text line, thank you, Chester. I don't know. Did Tom Hagen visit and smoke a cigar with Epstein the day before his suicide. If y'all remember Godfather, Tom Hagen, the attorney, conciliary. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106, and we'll take, I got to figure out how to make this thing work. Here we go. And, all right, John in Bay Minette, first up. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you today?
Doing good, man.
Doing good. Number one, I guess, is we have a toll commission. Do we pay a toll commission in the state?
And they're appointed. I don't know if they get a separate stipend. They're all, I think, every one of them has another government position.
Okay. Well, I'm just curious about that. My thinking on this thing is the fact that it's not the tunnel. It's the 15-degree turn going into it going west and the 85-degree turn going east. As you go through there going west especially, you're looking at a 30-40-foot
right, yeah,
concrete barrier in front of you.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the angle coming into the tunnel, the change of dark to bright, these things. There's actually a discussion from last week on the show, idea that might have, to try to straighten that out, take some of the Civic Center parking lot and do an easement through there with like a raised deal. But those things, John, you're getting specific. I'd back up from that for a second. And one of the frustrations, I think, for us out here is that ideas like yours or whatever – that they're not discussing any of these ideas, whether it's, you know, changing.
Right.
It's like onward and upward with the idea of, you know what, and I'm not against having a bridge. I want to have a bridge, too. I'm just against tolls. I mean, I believe having more ways to get across the bay, it's a good thing.
Right. But, you know, if they would take that thing and straighten it out, go down through the Civic Center, which they hate originally, and it's full of asbestos and lead and everything under the world, give that to the state, let them clean that mess up, take a left, go down, take a left turn general, take a right turn general, go back into 10. Your problem is solved to some degree because the speed limit through that tunnel is 40.
Right. John, I appreciate the call. I mean, these are a lot of these things that, and this problem, this discussion has been going on this show, and thanks for chiming in because it's made up, this whole discussion is made up of what y'all add to it.
Mm-hmm.
We've been doing this for a couple of years on the show, so many of these things have been talked about, but I think the easier thing right now, without even getting specific, which we do from time to time, is this idea that doesn't seem like there's a, I've said this before, I think we're offered the gold plan here with the bridge project, and we're not offered, haven't been told what the silver plan or the bronze plan is. If there are other options, it seems like it's hell-bent for leather going forward with the full build. Now, there's nuance here, because once you do one thing, you have to do another to some degree. Like, there'd be no reason, if you built the bridge and then brought the bridge back into the bayway with two lanes, let's say we're going to go eastbound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get off on the bridge, and it brings it back in. Now you got two lanes of the Wallace and two lanes of the bridge, and you bring it into two lanes of the bayway. You just moved the bottleneck.
Yeah, it's just another bottleneck.
So, I mean, I get the idea of having to put more lanes to widen the bayway, but then the other part of it is you have to elevate the bayway. Well, can we not elevate the bayway but still widen it? Is that a thing that can be done? Because I agree, there's no reason to have additional two lanes and then put it back in and mix it with the other two lanes and then you just have traffic there. So, I mean, there are things like that. Can you widen it without elevating it? Can you do the bridge maybe at a lower cost without some of the additional trappings that are on it? Also, what about bonding out with the state paying for it? In other words, using the Go Mesa money, or like State Senator Tripp Pittman had said the other day, maybe use the trust fund money. Let the state, instead of the private financier, let the state bond out the money, pay it back through a toll program at a lesser rate, but with interest, so the money keeps its current value when it goes back into the trust fund, and instead of having a third party, a private partnership out there, let the state do it. I mean, there's so many angles to this, but it feels like we're only discussing one of them out there. All right, 8:30, coming right back.
Hey, 8:37 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Welcome to a new work week. Right now, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, and even better now that we are closer and closer to football, and that means that it is tailgate season. And, Mitch, I don't know if you know this, but it helps if you're going to go tailgating to have something with a tailgate. Right now, great deals on trucks at McConnell Automotive. What's going on over there at the lot?
That's a good thing to bring up, Dalton. I know everybody's probably seen the commercial where they're singing the na-na-na song and mm-hmm. the tailgate that GMC has. Nobody else has got it, buddy, and you know, a lot of people think that you got to pay a lot more for that truck, Dalton, than you would for a Ford or even a Chevy. And right now, if you go to McConnellAutomotive.com, what you're going to find out on that six-function tailgate, we have over $10,000 off the sticker price on some of those X31, which is the new Z71. We've got deals on the new AT4 that's got that tailgate. So it's a great season coming up with the tailgating, and Dalton, the truck deals that we have right now are the best since the new truck came out. And I just really hope, buddy, anybody out there listening, don't buy a truck until you come and check that new tailgate out at McConnell.
All right. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
All right, buddy. Y'all have a good one.
That's Mitch McConnell. You can check out McConnell Automotive online at McConnellAutomotive.com or go see them in person on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, we'll go to the phones at 343-0106. By the way, no shocker, Dr. Bill says hot again today. It's August.
I thought it was going to be 60s, 70s today.
It's like outside all weekend. I was up. It's stupid hot.
It is.
Stupid. That's. I don't know if that's a meteorological term, stupid hot, but it works for me.
Yeah, and I don't know what I expected. Saturday, I had a lot of yard work to do. I said, you know.
So what time did you get started with that?
I said, it's too hot. And it was 11 in the morning.
It's great time to start it, Dalton.
I said, too hot. I'm going to wait until Sunday. Well, yesterday I got started at 11 in the morning. So either way, it was going to be hot.
It's your fault, man. That's why you got to be like the people in my neighborhood that are mowing before the dew even dries up. They're mowing at like 5 in the morning. All right. Fred is in Mobile. He's up next. Hey, Fred.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, man.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I had a kind of a different idea for the tunnel, and that was, and I got the idea from how the state treats hurricane evacuations.
Okay.
And that is, put all four lanes of the tunnel going east, and then build a bridge coming west with four lanes.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Mm. It wouldn't be bad.
And that way you could take and increase the capacity of the tunnel, and that's what the problem is. The problem is, along with the curves, is also capacity.
Well, you wonder if they're going to, you know, toll both structures like they're talking about, right? That's the deal. I don't think they would have the pushback if, you know, they weren't going to try to toll both the Wallace and the future bridge. But, yeah, I mean, if you're going to do both of those, that may be a way to do it.
The other thing that's kind of disturbing to me is Governor Ivey in her press conferences has already said that she didn't see any way other than to pay for it other than with tolls. She's already closed the door.
Not kind of like it, Fred. It is like it, man. I'll just say it. I mean, I read through her op-ed, and the thing that drives me crazy is she said, well, those who want to just wait, and people like me have said, hey, let's wait and see if President Trump's reelected, see if we can get some more federal money. She said, we've already been waiting 25 years for this. We've waited too long. If we've waited 25 years, what is another year if it means millions and millions and tens of billions of dollars in difference?
Well, then if you look at the payback on it, okay, this is supposed to be for the citizens. This is not supposed to be for private industry. I mean, let's get real about this. The other thing that I'm kind of disturbed about is I'm a motorcyclist, and as a motorcyclist, I already get taxed extra because I have, quote-unquote, the RV vehicle, according to the state of Alabama, and I don't get anything extra out of that. I take up less room on the highway, have less impact on the highway, and I use less gasoline, and I'm always at 50% capacity on my motorcycle. So the state's going to treat me the same as they treat a car, and I'm kind of sick and tired of that little
yeah, you know what?
going on there as well.
That's a logical argument, because if they're going to take tractor trailers, they're going to be $24, I think, either way, something like that, because of the addition. I mean, I disagree with the tolls, but if you're going to talk about it, you can have incremental by weight and damage to road. What Fred's saying is right. Then motorcycles have less impact than cars have, than tractor trailers have. So, and by the way, if you appreciate your call, Fred, if you plan to pull a boat behind your truck, like I've done many times, going down the causeway to head out, it's going to be more money then, too.
Yeah. Are they planning on by
axle? It's going to be more than $6. I forget, was it eight or something like that, if you have like a non-commercial trailer.
Because I'm thinking of all the landscaping crews, too. They go work on both sides of the bay. I mean, they're going to be hauling trailers, and sometimes you get two or three vehicles in a crew that does some of these huge yards. That's going to add up pretty quickly, and they're not just going to pay for that and keep your rates the same. They're going to have to raise your rates, too. I think what upsets me and most people about this whole issue coming from Montgomery is you've got Ivy, who, I mean, she's been down here more than governors in the past, at least on the books. We've had, you know, Governor Bentley leaving his wallet when he comes down to the beach house, but he wasn't here for official business. Ivy's come down a little bit more often for official business, but still, it seems like we have these people in Montgomery who don't really know what it's like to travel the Bayway day in and day out, and they say they're open and listening to our suggestions. But it's like they're just saying that, and then they're keeping their ears shut to every suggestion. I mean, if you go back and listen over the last 2 years on this radio station, there have been so many different ideas thrown out there that it's impossible to count. Some of them have been really bad, but there have been a lot of really good ideas, too. And it just seems like, just like the BP oil settlement, you know, we're getting the short end of the stick here. And it's not only that, it's like some kind of elitist attitude from Montgomery. I don't understand.
I'll tell you what it might make a difference. You know, pointed out the fact that I've been on shows in Huntsville now twice in the last couple weeks talking about the toll situation down here.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because they like my shining personality, but they're starting to get concerned, and there, you know, ad campaigns going on up there to block the toll, to try to tell folks, you know, because you don't have to, it's not a big stretch. Aldot had John Cooper said in a meeting a couple weeks ago that this was just a start and this would be the future of projects in the state of Alabama going forward. That message is important. That helps somebody in Huntsville go, oh gosh, maybe our next bridge over the Tennessee River is going to be tolled, or somebody in Birmingham or somebody in Montgomery. Then you start getting those people calling their legislators, and then there's a way to form a consensus and get something done. If not, it will be the same as BP. You know, where the, you know, there's like, well, who cares what they do down there? They're a different world. But a very savvy plan has been rolled out here with Common Sense Campaign and others buying advertising in other parts of the state to say, hey, here's what John Cooper said, and y'all will be next. And the fact they, you know, put me on those radio shows up there because they're starting to get concerned about it. That's good. That's good. That's how this game is going to be played. That is how it's going to be won. By the way, I'm seeing Facebook messages and text, and yes, you are correct. I think John earlier said the speed limit in the tunnel was 40, and they're saying it's 55. Sometimes on the show, things are, you know, callers. I can't correct every – I am now, but I'm saying some – like somebody will call in and say some things, and if I stopped them at every thing they said, then people say, well, you're being mean, Sean, or whatever, and then I got to come back and see a bunch of people, you know, and I appreciate it, but the, yeah, speed limit's 55. John said it was 40. We'll move on. David in Mobile up next.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Dalton.
Hey,
real quickly, I want to put this out there. I know nothing about the Clintons, even though I was born in Arkansas. I'm putting that out there for my own safety.
Okay, good. Good. You're safe. You're safe from the Clintons right now.
Yeah. I was going to talk about the Epstein murder, but I'm going to switch to the tolls because that seems to be a little bit more hot.
If you could combine them into one, it would be amazing. If you could somehow combine the suicide of Epstein to something to do with $6 tolls.
I'm hearing Epstein was anti-toll.
Yeah.
Just keep that.
Does anybody know the whereabouts of John Cooper around the times Epstein's allegedly committed
suicide? Solid question. But,
real quickly, on your concern about delaying until after the Trump after the election, if Trump is reelected, you have to understand Trump's infrastructure plan relies heavily on public-private partnerships.
It does. But he also doesn't always stay straight to the, you know, he says this, but then he does something else. So there's a lot better chance of there being some more federal money in 2000, after the election in 2020, than there is right now. Don't you agree? It won't be less. It will be more.
I, I agree. And also, if we substantially change the project from what it is designed now, we lose all of the federal money that has already been committed to the project, and we have to go back to the drawing board and do everything
but
over again.
But what if we drop the price of the – okay, $125 million of federal money in the infra grant. Let's say you did amendments to it that dropped the project cost by $250 million.
You still keep the money, yes.
See what I'm saying? We could lower the price of this thing and not have the $125 million infra grant and still be ahead on the dollars of this program. Appreciate the call, David. We'll go to a news break coming right back. 847, this is FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here, Sean and Dalton. Taking your calls at 343-0106. By the way, I've been talking all summer, getting the family involved and getting your junk out of the house, you know, getting them to gather the junk and all that. If that hadn't worked for you, let's take the other tact, okay? Kids are going back to school. Either they're already in school or they'll be back. One of mine goes back this week. The other one goes back Monday. I know we got probably by next week, almost everybody will be back in school. That's when you go to the house when they're not there and take all their junk and get rid of it. Have have like maybe a nooner appointment with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Have them stop by and load out the junk. It's just that easy, too. You go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make that appointment. They'll give you a day and a time, and they'll be ready to work when they get there. So my buddy Trey, he's been doing this in Mobile and Baldwin counties for 11 years now. So big, big national company, but local franchisee. One of my buddies, Trey, does great work. So when you see that 1-800-GOT-JUNK truck coming through your neighborhood, they're probably going to get somebody's kids' junk that's been piled up once they're at school and they don't notice. And that's always the win for a parent when you throw away a bunch of stuff like that and then they don't notice.
And the You're kids.
Like, yes.
Yeah. Or you can use it, you know, as
my kids listening this morning? No, they're not listening.
You could also use that as a ultimatum for the kids. Say, you know, I asked you 20 times to pick the toys up off the ground. Now look what you've done. Trey and the crew had to come through.
This is what you made me do.
I just told them to pick up everything off the floor. And your toys are on the floor, so that's why your toys are no longer here. Now,
hey, parenting through guilt is solid, man. You're going to find out it is a solid. It was used against me very effectively. It still hangs over me. It'll work for you, too. 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Check them out today. All right, to the phones at 343-0106. And Steve is in Mobile. Hey, man.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Doing good, man. Thanks for the call. So what's up?
I've got a suggestion on the toll. I don't think anybody with a Mobile or Baldwin County tag should have to pay anything or a very, very lesser amount, maybe a dollar. Let the other 49 states pay it.
Okay. So
it's not
going
to hurt them near as much. You know, somebody traveling from California to Florida.
Right.
So they pay $6 or $9 one way and $6, $9 next way. The Mobile people, you got kids going back and forth across the bay to school. Like you said earlier, the landscapers and all the other businesses, plumbers, whoever. So it's really going to hurt Mobile worse than anybody else.
Sure. And here's the wrinkle in this, Steve, that when this first came up, I thought the same thing as you. But get this. When you do any work to a federal interstate, even though we're financing it, you have to comply with federal law on this from the Highway Administration. They say you cannot give discounts or no toll based on geography. In other words, based on your address. You can do it through frequency of use, but not address. This is a wrinkle to this that's been plaguing, you know, for the last few months of this conversation. So the best you could do is offer the discounted rate for all you could drive. That's what they're offering now. What all you can drive for $90 a month or whatever like that. Because of the federal law, you can't exclude local folks from the tolls. That was my first reaction months ago, and they said, nope, you can't do it. Federal law says if you're working on a federal interstate, you cannot give any benefit based on geography. So,
maybe we can get the law changed.
Good luck with that. Indeed, thanks, Steve. There are so many things like this in this story. Another reason we know it is we've just been doing it forever on this station. Before it became the cool thing to do, we were already talking tolls over here. And That's a wrinkle that stinks. You would say, okay, we'll just do exactly what Steve said, but you can't.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we've been talking about this situation for a while now, but it really kind of, I guess you could say, it hit the fan at the beginning of this year when when they said they were going to toll not only the new bridge, the proposed bridge, but also the Wallace Tunnel. And like you said earlier, Sean, I think if they only tolled the bridge, that this wouldn't be near the problem, because so many more locals would say, okay, all of you out-of-towners, you take the nice new bridge. You're going to want to be on this bridge that's, what, 200-something feet above the water, mm-hmm. almost as tall as the Golden Gate Bridge out there. You guys all take that. We'll continue to take the Wallace Tunnel. It'll be a lot easier without all of you out-of-towners out there and with fewer people on the roadways. But by tolling both of them, and then just after they drop that news, sticking their fingers in their ear and saying, ah, la, 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 it's the only way that we can get this done. I wonder when we're going to get answers on this, whether it's the toll committee meeting in October, if after that we'll know for sure whether or not they're going to go through with building the bridge, or whether we'll know – when will we know, I wonder – whether we're putting this off and waiting until after 2020, or if they're going to say, nope, too bad. We know you guys hate it down there, but we're building this and there's going to be a toll.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, October 7th, we'll see what happens at that meeting. And also, speaking of meetings, too, going on today, you've got Congressman Byrne has a town hall meeting in Grand Bay. That starts at 9. Then got a note from State Auditor Jim Ziegler with the Block the Mobile Bayway toll Facebook page. They've got a presser going on at 11 at the Lighthouse Restaurant in the Bayou. And then they're going to talk. One of the things they've said in the email they're going to talk about is a meeting coming up Thursday at the Five Rivers Center on the Causeway for more input on this, for blocking the toll, doing away with the toll. So that goes on this morning, 11 o'clock, the news conference. And then they're going to talk about the event for Thursday night. Of course, coming up on the midday show, we'll bring you all the information from today's news conference at 11. And if you want to go, you know, what the actual, I think they're saying from 6 to 8 Thursday night.
That's
at
right.
The Five River Center.
That's exactly right.
Which is,
right.
If you've never been there, you got to go there anyway. Go early and check out the little museum piece and all that. Five River Center. Cool. Cool place.
I've never been in.
We're taking you on the road. We got some things to show you. All right, 8:58, we're out of here. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next.